Father, we thank you just for the opportunities to be able to go Peru, Haiti, Belize, different places. God, we pray for Dan and Anna down in Sonora, Mexico, and just these beautiful opportunities. God, you have blessed us with. You've opened these doors to be able to go share who you are and your goodness and your, of course, your good news and those the good news of salvation. And so, God, we pray for each of these teams. Thank you for bringing the Peru team home safe. And be with Jeff and Kurt right now there in the Ukraine in a pretty hot spot. We just prayed, watch over them. And God, that the people there would just be blessed, that they would travel so far to extend, God, to be your hands and your feet and to extend your love to them. Watch over them, we pray. Lord, be with Pastor Dez as he starts his radiation. We pray that you would give him just strength. We pray, God, that it would just kill the those cells that need to die and that it wouldn't damage any of the good cells there behind his left eye. God, we just pray that you would just give him strength day by day. And God, that you just continue to reveal you and yourself, your goodness, that this would be even an intimate time, Lord, with you during these next 6 weeks. Father, we thank you for your word that we hold in our hands. We get to open now. You've given us the blessing of education to be able to read, to be able to learn. But Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts the things that you want to communicate to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Why don't you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. We're going to take the first seven verses this morning. You know, for centuries, the islands of New Zealand were unpopulated. No human had ever set foot on them. Then the first settlers arrived. They were Polynesians from other Pacific islands who had sailed 1,000 miles in an outrigger canoe, they believe. That's the best we know from the story of that. So they actually say that they believe that they came from Taiwan, went to the area of like Vanuatu and Fiji and inhabited those islands, then ultimately came down to New Zealand. How did they know the land was there? Well, it's one of the names that they originally had. You see it on the right-hand side there, that they originally had for the islands, the island of the white cloud, the land of the long white cloud. Because ultimately that they continued to see these white clouds in the same place. So supposedly, as the story goes, they got in their outriggers and went that way because they knew land would be underneath that. And that's how they were able to find that. And I think faith is like that. It's a voyaging to an unseen land. It's journeying to an unknown future. But it's not mere guesswork or chance or superstition. There are facts behind faith, facts that suggest conclusions. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning as he starts off by faith being described, and then we'll see faith being demonstrated. And we're just going to take our first three. If you browse, have your eyes kind of just scan down chapter 11 there. So many of the verses start with, and by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah. And it goes through our kind of chapter that way. And so it'll demonstrate all of these examples of men and women, the Old and New Testament that demonstrated their faith. But he first takes in those first three verses and describes it. So that's what we're going to start off with, faith described in verses 1-3. And so he says, now faith, now remember that was at the bottom of chapter 10, if you look at 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, and it really kind of launched us into this next chapter. And then that word believe, it's actually the same pisteo in the Greek in verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe. And so they're launching from that now to kind of set up this chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is the substance or the realization of things hoped for, the evidence or the confidence of things not seen. For by it the elders, the men of old, obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, talking about the creation of the world, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible or visible to the naked eye. So in this part, as we look at faith described, You know, some atheists like to throw around the quote, maybe you've heard it before, that Christianity is the belief that some cosmic Jewish zombie can make you live forever if you symbolically eat his flesh and telepathically tell him that you accept him as your master, so he can remove an evil force from your soul that is present in humanity, because a rib woman was convinced by a talking snake with legs to eat from a magical tree. Makes perfect sense. I don't know if you've seen that t-shirt before or that poster before, a way to poke fun at how dare we believe with this blind faith Christianity. And a lot of atheists, a lot of agnostics, a lot of folks might think that that's our story, but that isn't our story. Christianity is a faith that is based on a body of knowledge that has been revealed by God. Faith is not a blind leap into darkness, but a trust in God that moves us out of darkness and into light. Faith is simple, but it's not simplistic. Faith is not credulity. Credulity is that tendency to believe anything, kind of be gullible. So faith is not credulity. It's based on sound reason and historical evidence. Faith provides the substance for our future hope. Faith involves trusting in what is not seen yet. Faith means more than believing in God. It means believing God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so we have, as Paul says over in 2 Corinthians 5, where we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Some see faith as contrasted by sight or contrasted by empirical evidence that's something based on experiment or experience. We have a saying, seeing is believing. But don't see faith as the opposite of sight or in contrast to it. That's what he's saying here. It's dealing with future issues. What we have seen in the past gives us faith to believe in the future, though we haven't seen it yet. That's what this faith is talking about. No, we haven't seen the future. Nobody's seen the future. We haven't been able to look out that way. But by looking back and seeing God's faithfulness this way, we can know that he's going to be faithful looking out that way. For instance, how visible was God to the children of Israel? How many people, the children of Israel, had seen God? Now we can say, well, Moses caught a glimpse of God, but we think of how many different ways God revealed himself to them without showing himself. So the children of Israel, back in the Old Testament wandering time, they didn't see God, but how is he visible to them? Through the 10 plagues, through the parting of the Red Sea, the drowning of Pharaoh's army, the manna, the earth opening up, swallowing people, the shining face of Moses when he came down from being in the presence of God, each and every single one of those. Now, all those things happened yesterday for them. Now, here's what's going to happen tomorrow. And they would tell him, you're going to possess the land, that land that's flowing with milk and honey, and it'll be your inheritance. And there is all these other promises that if they would continue to be faithful through this wilderness time, this is what I have for you on the other side. This is what I have for you in the promised land. So God not saying, hey, here I am, but yet in a way kind of doing that by showing in all these different miracles and different events, watch, this will happen, and then it happened. And so, though not showing himself, yet revealing himself by these other things. Basically, you would communicate to him, I know as you sent your spies in the land, you saw giants. But I want you to have giant faith. Don't worry about the giants. Just focus in on the faith. Could any Jew see tomorrow or look into the future? No. Can you? No. So this true biblical faith is believing what has already been shown in the past, which causes us to have faith in the future promises, though we haven't seen them yet. Now in verse 3, he says that they're not made of things which were visible, talking about the creation, not visible to the naked eye. So as we look around, we see in our world and all of that, these things were made out of things that were not visible to the naked eye. I'll put behind me, you know, we have atoms, electrons, energy, particle physics, and different waves that we cannot see with the naked eye. And as you see behind me, just that small little sliver of what we can actually see. And what we have on both sides of that, from gamma rays to X-ray to ultraviolet, which we can't see. And then the other side of that spectrum there, the infrared and radar and radio waves, which we cannot see. I was talking to Mark Ritter, the science teacher from Temecula High School, and I had heard it, and I thought, no way. And then he had said it this morning. I said, that really is true, is that of our universe today, over 90% is unseen. Over 90% is unseen. And so anyways, that's what he's laying out there of which are seen, which are visible, made of things which are not visible to the eye. But he goes on and gives us now some examples of this faith that we have feet to our faith, not a blind faith. And so we're going to just learn from these three guys this morning, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and see our faith demonstrated, this faith demonstrated. And with each one, as he goes through this list, is kind of a different area of faith, different ways in which we can reveal or show our faith. So learn from each of these guys. Faith is confidence in God that leads to obedience to God, as seen in the rest of this chapter. So to illustrate true faith, the writer points to Old and New Testament believers, showing how they trusted God to bless and provide and protect and lead and conquer and give life, even in the most dire circumstances, that God would be faithful to doing that. So our outline, we're going to look at Abel's sacrifice of faith, and then Enoch's walk of faith. And then thirdly, we'll look at Noah's work of faith. And so the first one we'll see here in verse 4 is Abel's sacrifice of faith. It's a real authentic faith in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. As you know, in the very beginning, Adam and Eve had the two boys. They had other children later, but the firstborn, Cain, started with very favorable beginnings. This is your firstborn. This was the exciting son to be able to have. This was the child of hope, this young boy, Cain. He was their firstborn. He finally received his ag degree at Eden University, or is actually just outside of Eden, right? And so agriculture was his thing. The second born, Abel, he went to animal husbandry school, and so that was his thing. Here we have an important contrast to really two different ways of faith, man's way and God's way. And so their little story there in the very first part of Genesis chapter 4, both of them being religious men for sure. And when it came time to worship, each brought an offering appropriate to their very own profession. Cain would bring something from the field. That was okay. Abel bringing something from the flock. That was good. Abel's was received and Cain's was not. Abel went out of his way to please God, and Cain seemed to simply be discharging a duty, a religious man, a spiritual man in that sense of bringing a sacrifice. But what was the problem? You know, it doesn't give us a whole lot of details in the text there. But what we know all throughout Scripture, when God receives our worship or doesn't receive it, even this very morning as we were worshiping him in song, your worship was received or not received, depending on your heart this morning. If you were just checked out and just reading the words, just saying them, and you were just planning out, I got to cut down that tree today, this last storm, the snow, all these different things, and you're just doing that, he's not up there going, oh, that just blesses my heart. No, right? And so all the way Genesis to Revelation is what our heart is doing at the time on whether that's received or not. Sorry to bust so many of you. Best we can tell, this was not a sin offering, nor was it even a trespass offering, but most likely simply a love offering that was brought. Remember, they're doing this pre-law, before we have all the details of the law. But on the other hand, they know about sacrifice. I'm sure they heard the story of when mom and dad were running around naked and all of a sudden they didn't know it, and then all of a sudden they sin, and then God has to do a sacrifice. They try to cover up with the itchy fig leaves there, and then God gives them the little, the lambskin seat covers, but that meant an animal had to die. And so with that, there's already this understanding there of an innocent animal giving its life because of sin. Abel's sacrifice, it says here, was more excellent. It was greater. It was more important because it came from a heart made righteous by faith. Again, many speculate on why Abel's sacrifice was received and why Cain wasn't. But again, it wasn't a cattle versus corn problem. It wasn't an animal versus, because we get to Leviticus and God specifically asked for grain offerings. Grain offerings aren't bad. They would be required coming up. So that wasn't the issue. Throughout Scripture, it isn't so much about, again, what you give so much as to how you give it. Again, the attitude of the heart. It doesn't say in Scripture that God loves the giver, because Cain was giving something, but he loves the cheerful giver. Again, goes immediately back to what the heart was doing at the time. He goes on to say, speaking of Abel, that he being dead still speaks. That's the best picture I could find of that event taking place. I think it's real. So this is a direct allusion to Genesis 4, verse 10, where as soon as Cain slays Abel, God shows up and he has this conversation. He's asking Cain the questions, and he said, what have you done? And then God says this, the voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. We don't have one word of Abel preaching, and yet his life today is still speaking. That's what it's saying there. Read a great story, maybe you've heard it before, of St. Francis, who once called one of his young monks. He says, let's go down to the town and preach. And this young monk was pretty impressed and pretty blessed that the famous St. Francis would ask him to walk into town with him. And so he quickly obeyed. They passed through the principal streets, turned down many of the byways and the alleys, made their way out to some of the suburbs, and at length returned by a winding route to the monastery gate. But as they approached it, the younger man reminded Francis of his original intention. You have forgotten, Father, he said, that we went down to the town to preach. My son, Francis replied, we have preached. We were preaching while we were walking. We have been seen by many. Our behavior has been closely watched. It was thus that we preached our morning sermon. It is no use, my son, to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere as we walk. Abel preached. His life story, this story of faith, still preaches just by being placed right here in this famous chapter of all the Bible to be able to say, there's a guy. It's God pointing to the guy saying, now there's a guy with faith. There's a guy with sacrificial faith in the way he came at it with his whole heart and realizing it's all of God. Let's meet our second guy, Enoch, in verse 5 and 6, who walks by faith. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken away, was raptured away, so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For so long, that was even one of my memory scriptures in verse 6, impossible to please God without faith. Didn't realize that it was attached to this account of Enoch here. So Enoch, known as the seventh from Adam, he comes next. Be known as this man who pleased God, maintain a daily walk with God. I always say, if I was written somewhere in Scripture and Brian's name was placed in there, I'd kind of want it to be like this Enoch guy. He gets 8 verses and doesn't say anything bad about him. It's just like, here's how awesome he was. He's just pleased God. It's just like, woohoo, that's what I want right there. But man, to be known as that, a guy that just took walks with God and just lived his life to please God. It's beautiful. His story back in Genesis 5, it's a pretty short story. back here. There's 8 verses altogether, but there's only 4 back here in Genesis. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So that's how long he walked with the Lord. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Boom, that's all we hear of him. And he all of a sudden zaps off of the pages of Scripture. So it indicates there that for 65 years, he did not walk with God. So he gets saved at 65, at the birth of his son Methuselah. Because the very next verse goes on to say, you know, until or after that, after those 65 years, that's when he started walking with the Lord for these next 300 years. So out of the 365, he walks with God for those 300 years. And it was at the birth of his son. And for those of us who have been at the presence at a birth of a child, that's something pretty special. Yeah, that'll speak God into your life of realizing this is just such a beautiful thing to witness. So what we know about him, he walked with God. Now I'm going to put a verse behind or a quote behind me here. I think it's great. Walk is the biblical expression for fellowship and obedience that results in divine favor. So we talk a lot about that in Scripture, about having a walk with God. Paul talks about, it's used so many different times there in Scripture, walk, that biblical expression for fellowship and obedience that results in divine favor. I think that's a great definition that was listed out there. So this walk that Enoch had, understand it then, is not an event, but a lifestyle. A long lifestyle, a 300-year long lifestyle. This walk was one of deepening intimacy. A walk implies a journey in a certain direction at a measured and regular pace. Enoch enjoyed this continuous presence of this unseen person that we call God and related his daily life to that person. I wonder, when was the last time you took a walk with God? Just you and him. Just you and him. And just went for a walk with him. Sounds beautiful. When do you sense the smile of God in your life? With his, was going on a walk. With others, they find a place to go sit next to a stream or whatever it is. Maybe you have a certain chair in your house. Maybe somewhere out back where you just enjoy kind of sitting and that special place that you enjoy with your God. I don't know why. I've just always enjoyed him in my car. And I've told you a million times, that's my devotions that I do, sitting out in front of Starbucks before I go in and get my Grande Americano extra room. Anyways, I sit out there and I don't know why. It's just quiet and safe and it's just me and nobody get to me except the Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on my window every once in a while. And those become fun. He says in verse 6, two things that you got to know. First, well, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So there's not this complete figuring out of God. Okay, I'll accept him. There's still that step of faith because you haven't seen him. There's still that step of faith that is there. Faith is required in order to bless our God. For he who comes to God must do two things. You got to believe he exists, obviously. And then the second one in that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, seek after him. And so God does exist. He's revealed himself in so many ways. Yes, through his son. Yes, through scriptures. But also through the very nature itself. The psalmist would exhort a couple times. He says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Just look around and you'll see God is what he's saying there. I like the British poet Elizabeth Barrett Browning, where she put it well. Earth's crammed with heaven and every common bush aflame with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. I like that. Those who see take off their shoes. Allow yourself every once in a while in the wonder of God, driving into your driveway at night and getting out of your car to look up and see the stars and just say, wow. Just express yourself in some way today in something that you see out in his creation, just to simply say, wow. Enjoy that childlike wonder of this magnificent universe where we see his fingerprints all over this incredible place. Know that God does exist. The second one, know that God does reward. Jesus says in the last chapter of the Bible, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work." So we learn from Enoch that faith means turning from human wisdom to God's revelation and walking in daily obedience until it leads to a fellowship in which death cannot separate. That's where he just so walked. He just walked his way right up into heaven that day. And maybe we'll get to do the same if we get to experience that rapture, not have to taste physical death. Just one day we'll just walk in and boom, in his presence. That's what we're all hoping for. Okay, lastly, we got Noah here. What do you think? Okay, maybe that's not what he looked like, but. So we got in verse 7, Noah's work of faith. And Enoch's walk of faith, Noah's work of faith. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And so here we have this faith that is just persisting. Noah believed in what he couldn't see. What was it that he couldn't see? Well, something called rain and a flood. It had never rained yet because of the way the system was set up at the time. There had not been rain. And so believing this, that takes faith. Believe in this wet substance coming out of the sky you've never seen before. Okay, you know, and it's years having to believe that in the making, of course, of the ark. And so he invests everything into this boat, his wife and family and reputation. And he's about 100 miles from the nearest ocean. The boat was way too big just for his family. All of this is just strange. And to top it off, he fills it with a whole bunch of animals. He knew it was going to rain, though, because what? Because God had told him it was going to rain 120 years before the flood came. Talk about persisting faith. Not a faith of, hey, it's going to rain later on today. You know, this is 120 years. This stuff's going to happen. Practically, how does faith help me, you, day by day? Well, it gives you and I that ability to endure when others are given up. Faith is not a luxury. It's a necessity in our lives. Where does this faith come from? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where we're going to continue to build our faith as we're in this book. Like the story, old writer said that faith and reason can be compared to two travelers. Faith is like a man in full health who can walk his 20 to 30 miles at a time without suffering. Reason is like a little child who can only with difficulty accomplish 3 or 4 miles. Well, said the old writer, on a given day, reason says to faith, "Oh, good faith, let me walk with you." Faith replies, "Oh, reason, you could never walk with me." However, to try their paces, they set out together, but they soon find it hard to stay together. When they came to a deep river, reason says, "I can never ford this," but faith wades through it singing. When they reach a lofty mountain, there's the same exclamation of despair. And in such cases, faith, in order to not leave reason behind, is obliged to carry him on his back. Oh, what luggage is reason to faith? That was by Spurgeon. It's both of them in our lives. We'll wrap up with this. Noah lived in a time when all had turned their backs on God. He alone remain faithful. Faith enabled Noah to, when warned of a coming flood, devote 120 years to the building of a great boat, again, about 100 miles from sea. Faith enabled Noah to cut through the contrary views of his contemporaries. Faith enabled Noah to accept the warning of impending disaster as fact. And faith enables us to withstand social pressures and respond with reverence, obeying the command to build. Whatever command he gives you and I, that ability, this faith is going to give us that ability to withstand these social pressures and be able to be obedient. See, living by faith or accepting as fact the truths that we cannot touch or feel or see, and then even acting on them seems such a simple prescription for life. Without faith, it's impossible, impossible, impossible to please God. Let's pray as our worship team comes back out. Father, we thank you so much for these examples. And as we continue the next few weeks to go through all these wonderful men and women that you highlight here to be an example to our faith. Lord, forgive us when our faith has waned, when we've just been so confused and just not believing and not trusting in you, not taking your word as fact. Forgive us for the times that we've struggled, stumbled in our faith. But we realize, well, that's what pleases you. That's what blesses you. Where when we don't get it, when we can't see it, when we can't touch it, and yet we say, Lord, I trust in you, in what you've done in the past, what you promised to do in the future. I'm just gonna bank on that. Lord, we trust in you. May that bless your heart today as we do, and we follow you obediently in that. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased by our faith. And we pray that our names would be written in your book of great men and women of faith. Stretch our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.